In this reality of streaming platforms, video on demand, anything that I want to watch, I can watch it right now. I have very little scheduled watching appointments, except over the last 3 weeks. Every Sunday night, 8 p.m. on Mnet. For the record, I don't have DStv Premium. I steal from my parents. No. Let me say, my mother has the full bouquet. She doesn't use the online account. So I then go and I've asked her nicely, can I use your online account though? So I watch Chasing the Sun every Sunday night at 8 p.m. And the trouble that I have is that I have to wait another 7 days for the next episode. Chasing the Sun season one, about the Springboks 2019 victory, I decided to wait so I could binge watch right at the end. I couldn't wait this year. Season two, was so enthusiastic to watch it that I now watch every week, and now I have to wait 7 days for the next episode. We left episode three on a cliffhanger. What will happen in the quarterfinal against France? Oh no, the nerves will get to me. But no, it is an absolutely amazing show. And to join me to talk about it is Anyani Shimangi, SuperSport commentator. He's the host of The Box Office, the YouTube rugby channel. It's absolutely fantastic. He invites other former rugby players and also former Springbok himself. Shimmy, thanks so much for joining us. Do you know what's going to happen in episode four of Chasing the Sun?
No, look, you know what happens at the end. We win another World Cup, which is fantastic. But it's the stories. Thanks for having me. It's really good. I'm just worried you're wearing a Man United top, which it's not a good thing nowadays. But anyway, let's talk Springboks.
Let's talk about Chasing the Sun. You're part of the SuperSport setup. You were in France for the World Cup. I noticed, because I had asked before the World Cup whether we could have a Chasing the Sun too. And then what I started noticing was a lot of videographers with the Springboks in training sessions. I don't know whether that was part of Rossi's on-field tactics, but I sort of knew something was coming. The access that we see in Chasing the Sun 2, and that we've seen a little bit in Chasing the Sun 1, is unprecedented, I think, for a professional rugby outfit.
No, it's massive. Look, we've seen it in other sports codes, but I think in rugby, I think the first sort of documentary was the British and Irish Lions, I think in 1997. That was the first one. And then Living with the Lions, that was it was called. Then obviously from a Springbok point of view, I think a lot of people, they had this mysterious sort of look around the Springboks. What happens in the change rooms? What happens off the field? What do the coaches say to the players? And I think that's what Chasing the Sun has done. The man behind the camera is actually, it's actually one person, and it's a guy called Russell Belter, who's been with Wildcam, and he's been around the Springboks, I think, the last 20, 30 years.
The gentleman with the beard.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, he's the man, and he's put together beautifully. I mean, you catch the emotions of the players, the team talks, the team selections, and it's thousands and thousands of hours of footage there, and it's just putting it together in terms of Chasing the Sun is phenomenal. I think we all sort of know what's happened, but when you hear the team talks and all of that, the Springboks were basically, when they were in Paris, they were staying outside of Paris, which from a Cape Town point of view is the equivalent of the Springboks being based out in, for example, in Arabella and playing in Cape Town. So that's how far they were outside the city. And obviously getting the footage, what was said in the change rooms, it's interesting. You know, you look at the Scotland game when they scrummed us just before the end of the first half. And I said, I remember in commentary with Matt Pearce, and I said, that's one thing the Springbok coaches will not be happy, because the Scottish guy started over-celebrating. And I said, you don't pull the lion's tail, like, especially before halftime. First scrum straight after halftime, the Springboks demolished them. But it's good to see, and the story is also fantastic.
I've been following also the tweets of your co-presenter at SuperSport, Motsidisi Mohono, and people ask online, you're so excited about these episodes. Haven't you seen it? You work for SuperSport. You were in France. Don't you know what's happening? Has it largely been kept a secret from those directly outside of the higher ups at SuperSport, the production team, the Springbok camp? She says that she doesn't know in terms of how an episode is going to unfold every week.
Yeah, exactly. I think what they do is they put everybody together, they do the interviews, but the final edit, no one really knows. what's going to come out, what's been said. And then it's obviously it's a surprise. You do the interview because you're there, you know what you've said, but how they put it together and join all the dots and put the puzzle together is something that no one's aware of. I think there might be, I think it's going to 6 episodes, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. 5 or 6 episodes. So still plenty to see, but I mean, it's, you sort of there. I mean, we were there in the commentary box, and I think Mort mentioned how the France game, the hostility around that, yeah. and the environment. But it is something that it's hard to describe unless you're there. You know, the French crowd are probably the loudest, most patriotic crowd in world rugby that you'll get. Look, you don't understand half the stuff you're saying because it's obviously French, but it's loud. It's like a football crowd, to be honest with you. And it's fantastic that the atmosphere is special.
Gosh, look, the insight into the tactics of the South African coaching team. The Rassie Erasmus with a boombox playing and replaying Le Marseillais, the French anthem at training. It's unconventional tactics, but just getting an insight. Even just getting an insight last week of not knowing that we were even the rumblings of divisions between the three dogs, big dogs in the squad, and that was Ebenezer, and that was Dwayne Vermeulen, and that was C. And that is very grounding, particularly for a South African rugby supporter.
Exactly. Look, it's a rugby team, like any working environment, there'll be disagreements, there's debate. But I think in rugby, you got to get over it within a week, because that's when you're going to get judged every Saturday, every 80 minutes. So I think that the pace of the show and how things change, and from how things can change from 80 minutes against Ireland to that team meeting where Rassie has a go at the guys, and then you got to look forward, you got to look, you know, towards the past and look ahead towards the following game. But I think how what I enjoyed most is how Rassie's ability to channel energy in the right direction for that team and get everybody in a united front to go. And sometimes the players might not like what he says, but the reality is you get the result. And what's magnificent about this team, you look at Cheslin Kolbe's charge down, all those little moments. We won every single little moment in that World Cup, obviously, except for the Irish game. But in terms of that, going through the playoffs, every little moment we won, and that took us to the final.
You were in France for what, 7, 8 weeks? You were there?
It was eight weeks, I think, yeah.
And I appreciate what's happening in the game of rugby in terms of whether it be the professional broadcasters, even the YouTubers who are getting involved in the analysis of the game. You also host, I watch Box Office, and it's fantastic. You and Skulk and John, it's absolutely fascinating. Just what do you think it means for the growth and also the understanding of this game, particularly if you want to grow it into international markets, particularly in an American market?
Yeah, that's a big one. You want a breakthrough. We saw, I think the classic business case is the one with Formula One and the growth in America. Rugby needs to grow as a game. I think as a, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to sit here and predict the next the quarterfinal for the next World Cup 4 years out, which you could possibly do, you know. So you want to grow the game. Obviously, America is the big market. They've had a couple of false starts in terms of trying to grow the game. But there is opportunity there. I think the universities are taking it more seriously. When rugby became an Olympic sport, sevens, the Americans all of a sudden pumped a lot of money into their sevens program. But we saw Portugal have got a good rugby team all of a sudden. Chile have managed to do well. Argentina, when they played, yeah, you know, they made a World Cup semi-final. But I think the rugby calendar, just the global calendar, needs looking at. I think there's a lot of rugby on at the moment. If you try follow rugby, you know, there's URC one stage, there's Champions Cup, and then in the morning there's Super Rugby. You know, it's all over the place at the moment, whereas it's probably the only sport, rugby, where, you know, you look at, you know, cricket, you know, there's a beginning and an end of a season. Formula One, there's a beginning and an end. Football, there's a beginning and an end. Rugby seems to go through all year round, and I think that's what needs looking at.
Look, I actually wouldn't mind a trip to Bloemfontein to watch Portugal. It will be a fascinating time. I'm looking forward to the to the bar afterwards, the Mystic afterwards.
Mystic Boer.
I'm looking forward to that. But I wouldn't mind a trip to Bloemfontein to watch the Springboks play Portugal. But back to Chasing the Sun. Rassie is seen using a lot of real life examples to motivate the team, the realities of the South African experience, but also reflecting on the support back home. We saw in 2019 South Africans coalescing around the Springboks. Something changed in the last 4 years when you've seen even doubly so, even before We played that first opening game against Scotland, a growth in the support, particularly for Rossi and the Springboks. And did you feel it in France where you were for 8 weeks?
Look, you felt it towards what happens is in the beginning of the World Cup, you're based in Toulon, which is, we used to call it Saldana. That's what it is. So look, guys, we're going back to Saldana the whole time. It's a small naval town. It's got a great rugby history. We're back in Saldana. So we used to go back to, then the Springboks played in Marseille, which is a big football, obviously football city. They don't even have a rugby team there. But so they sort of play in between the two. But once you got to the playoffs, everybody's in Paris. And then the green jerseys came out, and the more you won. So all, you know, the center of Paris, I think before the one game, guys were taking pictures. It was literally, you'd think you'd be, you know, in the middle of Joburg in a test match or Cape Town in Greenpoint. It was just packed full of Springbok jerseys. Everyone was there. You know, you couldn't, you know, you'd sort of meet for lunch somewhere and end up being 30 people because all the South Africans would get together. And you can spot the South Africans, you know, cargo pants, slops, and a Springbok jersey anywhere in Paris. You know, probably the worst dressed people in Paris, you know, but they were there. They loved it. And a lot of South Africans came from London, all around sort of Europe, to come support the Springboks. So you could definitely feel it the closer and closer you got to. And also your WhatsApp. So everyone's asking for tickets. That's another one also. So a lot of people were flying in because it's such a short, easy flight.
This growth in this genre of sports documentaries is very, very important for broadcasters. There's this battle, of course, over rights, websites where you can get streams on. Broadcasters have to differentiate also what they're offering. So the genre of the docuseries, the analysis, it's becoming very important to the broadcast of the game, and not necessarily just technical doigt, you know, commentary. Yeah. It's bringing personality, and I enjoy the engagement that you have with Jean and Skalk in Box Office, but I also start to see it more in the Super Sports studio and also in documentaries like Chasing the Sun. That's becoming what's differentiating just the average broadcast of a game with a commentator to the entire package I can offer someone who's watching.
Yeah, look, people got to hear in the entertainment business. That's the reality. You know, people are looking at other options. You know, you got to make sure that you stay relevant. And for me, the stories, I know a lot of the players, but, you know, you watch Chasing the Sun. You know, I was listening to Manny Lebok's story about his background, where he's from, Bongi's story. So it does bring, it makes it real, you know, in terms of understanding the characters, what drives them, what they're all about. And that's the magic thing, I think, with the Springbok team. You know, a guy watching in America might not know a lot about rugby, but you know a lot about the personalities, what it's taken, or what this World Cup actually means to the people of South Africa. And I think that's what Chasing the Sun does. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes you sit back and you say, jeebus, I wish we had something like this for the 95 World Cup and 2007 World Cup in terms of the stories or the archives. And, you know, everyone's got a different story this World Cup. You look at every individual player, where they've come from, how they got into that final or into that team. So it's fascinating. Even though you know the guys, you don't know them as well till you actually watch it.
And you've enjoyed your transition from professional rugby player. I remember you being brought into the Super Sport team as a junior analyst commentator. Now you run the show, you and Matt Pierce. You're the guys who are call the game, of course, the Afrikaans and the very, very popular Isikosa commentary. But your transition from player to broadcast, have you enjoyed this ride so far?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. Look, I did. Actually, funny enough, someone was asking me, one of the players, said when I was in Free State, all the Super Sports interviews, the Afrikaans guys didn't want to go speak English on TV. So they sent me the whole time. So I ended up being the guy going to Joburg the whole time. And I didn't mind a trip to Joburg because all my family and friends were there. So I'd always do the Super Sports interviews. And then they said, listen, once you start playing, would you be keen to do some commentary? So I did Craven Week, been traveling. But I've always enjoyed it. Every game's got a different story. It's unscripted. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you look at the guys that did the Grey College Jeppy game, you know, there you commentating on that. You're probably looking at one of the biggest schoolboy upsets ever. So every game's got a different story, and there's not one day where you turn around like, geez, I've got to go comment. You to work in sports, you've got to be passionate about it. So it's been a fantastic ride so far.
But a Western Cape boy, born in Elim, Rondebosch Boys, UCT. It took a while for you to come back home to Western Province. You started off with Natal.
Yeah.
But still, proud Western Caper, proud Inland boy, making it big on the broadcasting screens.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I've always wanted to do, I started off at the Sharks, yeah. Cheetahs, but I always wanted to, I was a ball boy at Province when I was still at Rondebosch at junior school, so I always wanted to play for Province. You know, that's one thing I thought. There are three things, you know, I wanted to play Rondebosch, obviously first team, play for UCT, which I did after, and then obviously play for Province. So I managed to tick all those boxes. But yeah, it's always good to be back this side. It's fantastic, and yeah, it's nice. You know, obviously, one big game this year is going to be, what I can't wait for is the All Black Test here in Greenpoint.
I can't wait.
That week, I think, that build-up, it's going to be something special.
I can't wait.
To have the All Blacks here.
7th of September. That's right. My mum's birthday. Sorry, Mum, I'm busy.
And take her to the game.
No, I banned my mom from being taken because she abuses people. So the person in front of, I actually have to warn when we do go, I have to tell the people, she gets a little excited.
Okay.
Don't worry, she will shake you. But so I've banned my mom from going with me to games. But Anyani Shimangi, really looking forward to Sunday, 8 p.m., episode 4 of Chasing the Sun, to a schedule. It's an appointment viewing time. Really appreciate your time.